Now, without further ado, great excitement. This mighty man of God knows this church very well. He was here, what, 100 years ago? I get on really well with Pastor Russell, and we've had many cups of coffees together, haven't we, mate? And I just really want to give him a warm welcome. He's going to tell him a little about himself and then share the word of God. Come on up, Russell.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here, and I thank God for the wonderful opportunity. It actually feels almost like I've come home, because I was a Baptist, and I met a crazy guy called Trevor Chandler, and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And on the Thursday night, we had a rehearsal. Pastor Fred invited me, and he said to me, "Do you speak in tongues, brother?" I said, "Oh, I'd give my right arm for that." He said, "No, you don't. You just have to come in faith. Come tomorrow night." Well, I was coming anyway. I was going anyway because I was going to drive the camera at the Church of Christ Center in Beaufort Street. And there was a large crusade going on. And that was the first night. And after he preached the word, he actually jumped off the stage, said, "Russell, come here." And even before he touched me, I was on the floor speaking in other tongues for about an hour or so. And I couldn't sleep at all that night, you know. It was incredible. I remember ringing Pastor Fred in the morning, and I said, "Pastor Fred, I can't speak in tongues. What's happening to me?" And he started speaking in tongues, and then I did, and it's never left. Hallelujah. And so I bless the Lord for every opportunity that he gives. God is an opportunist. You know that? I knew I'd get it out sometime. And I'm so happy that I met your dear pastor, and I've met him before, and we've had some good coffees together, and he and I get on very well indeed. So I have a prophetic message for you. I don't want to, you know, rattle and rave about what I've been doing. But since that time, and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and then I was in this church. Actually, this is my first church in Pentecost. And I just bless God for it. Really has something in my heart for you guys. I know you're not interested in that, but it doesn't matter. And lovely to meet lovely old friends that I've known for a long, long time, even though we look in our 30s. I bless the Lord. Since that time, I think Ellie and myself can't be here today. We've been traveling for some nearly 30 years. I think I went, well, I did. I went to India in early 1981. It was really rough and ready and raw in those days. And I took Betty Populaire's husband with me, John, and another two brothers. One was a Woman's Weekly photographer. And we had a wonderful time for a couple of weeks. And God really did some phenomenal things. But the person I was when I left was not the person that I was when I came home. See, that's the difference. And if we are in this place where God wants to do something and we don't allow him, then we've missed the point. We've missed everything. And I think one of those greatest things we miss is when people get into a place of apathy and complacency and lethargy, you've lost everything. And I think if you ever come to the place where you lose your sense of expectancy in Christ, you've lost it. Don't lose your expectancy. You ought to wake up every morning expecting something, expecting abundance, expecting health, expecting blessing, and expecting good things to take place. You know, he that would see have a good life, he that would have good life and long days, let him refrain his tongue from speaking evil and his lips from speaking guile. And so we got to be careful what we speak. It's what you speak today, you'll live in tomorrow. Now, I always want to live tomorrow like I when speaking today. I don't want to speak rubbish. I want to speak good things. Amen? Jesus never spoke rubbish. He always talked up, not down. And I have brothers that I mentor every week. I mentor businessmen every week, and also evangelists. And I bless the Lord for every opportunity. I'm still going, and I thank God for it. I say, God, when I die, I want to be dying doing. I don't want to be dying sitting. I don't want to be dying satisfied. I live in a place of unsatisfaction, dissatisfaction, because I want what Jesus has for me, and he never comes to the extent of having what he has for me. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, I want to bring this message to you, and then I want to call for something. And it's here. The Bible actually says in Luke chapter 1, and you got your Bible? John Wesley once said, "Revival is revival." Yes, okay, that's very good, Rosa. In verse 5 it says, and by the way, a phone's not a Bible. Neither is an iPad. A Bible is a Bible. Who said amen? Oh, I love you people. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the courts of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And listen to the wording. They were both righteous, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, and they were blameless. That's a great testimony. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they, I love this one, and they were well stricken in years. Both of them were well stricken in years. It means they were very old. And when you get to that place, I'm 55, you know, Molly. Oh, yes, well, I'm 60, you know. Oh, and we start talking like that. We do. I'm sorry, we do. You got to stop that. You got to start saying, I might be 55 or 65 or even 75. I want you to know I ain't finished yet. God has made me strength. He's given me vitality and health and wholeness and abundance and blessing. And I'm not finished. God has something more for me. Amen. Amen. God has got something more for me. Turn to your neighbor and say, I like this bald-headed man. So don't lose this age of expectancy. You know, Saul of Tarsus had the rush of his life, the shock of his life on the road to Damascus. And he fell off his horse with a bunch of people who were with him. And he must have thought, my goodness, where did that come from? And he hears a voice, his life changed unexpectedly. He was a killer. He persecuted the church. Look what happened 20 years ago in Tasmania. We've all walked through those places. So God wants us to walk in this place of great expectancy. Now, I'm talking about the prophetic this morning because this is a prophetic message. This is talking about a guy called John the Baptist. And the Bible says they were well stricken in age. They were extremely old. Now, listen then to the wording, what it says. And came to pass that as he executed the priest's office, before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, they were to burn incense. And then the Bible says in verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. What's that? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then it goes on to say, and Zechariah, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Now, he must have got the shock of his life. My goodness. An angel of the Lord standing there. What angel? Well, I'll tell you who it was. It was an incredible angel. See, when he went to say, the angel and Zechariah had fear fell upon him. Verse 13 says, and the angel said to him, fear not, Zechariah, your prayer is heard. You ever stop praying, I tell you what, no angel's going to come to you with the answer. Now, I've seen angels and I thank God for that. I'm married to one. Turn to your wife or your spouse and say, you're an angel. I love you men for doing dishes. Turn to your husband and say, I love you for doing dishes. And God, Zach. Your prayer is heard, but I'm a well stricken in age old man. What prayer do you mean? Oh, you mean I'm still praying? Yeah, I heard your prayer the very moment that you started to utter your voice. You see, what we have in this country, I'm sorry to say, we don't have a prophetic voice that stands and says, thus far and no more. We're too complacent. We are too backward in coming forward because we're Christians. And we don't have a voice. Everybody else has a voice. I believe that God is going to raise up a voice in this nation, a prophetic voice, a strong voice, a penetrating voice. That's what we need. And then he went on to say, and your wife Elizabeth shall have a son, and you shall call his name John. And then he went on to say, my goodness, I can't believe it. My prayer that I prayed and been praying all these years, well, stricken in age, and we were blameless before the Lord and doing all the ordinances, the commandments of the Lord, and my prayer was heard. And now your wife, Elizabeth's going to have a son. He's not an ordinary son. He's not going to live a mundane life, an ordinary life, an ordinary common garden Christian life. He's going to live a totally exemplary life, a totally different life. And this is what the angel said. And he'll have joy, you'll have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Why? It's a very unusual birth, unusual lady, old lady to have a son. You know, the God you and I serve is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God of Abraham, God, the God who made Abraham the father of faith. Goes to him in 100 years and said, you're going to have his covenant son. And he believed God and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Instantly, she laughed. See, and many will rejoice. And he'll be great in the sight of the Lord and drink no wine and strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Did he speak in tongues in the womb? I don't know. And many of the children of Israel, now he gives him a five-part mandate. And many of the children, now he's talking about who? He's talking about the forerunner of Jesus Christ coming to the earth. Let me tell you this, when Jesus comes again, before he comes, he is going to send forerunners. Prophetic forerunners. And they're going to speak the very oracles of God. They're going to speak current truth. They're going to speak the very heart of God, the very purpose, the very destiny of God. And then he says here, he'll turn many of the children of Israel, he'll turn to the Lord their God. And then he says, and he'll go, number two, he'll go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Are you joking? This little boy that's in my womb is going to be called John. He's a prophet to the nations. He's a prophetic voice in the earth. Where is it? On Wednesday night, I'm going to speak, where are the prophets? I'm going to make an impartation on Wednesday night. Not that I'm not going to do it now. There are voices here. There are prophetic voices here. There are prophetic gifts here. There are evangelists here. There are pastors here. We've got pastors coming out of our ear holes.
Amen. Yeah.
You can hit me later, Pastor. Oh, not give me coffee. I don't care. Where are the teachers? Where are the prophetesses? Where are the women that have got an anointing for the prophetic? Few and far between. Oh, Margaret Court, of course. I know, we were in that church for 19 years. We get on very well, Pastor and myself. I love her. It's a great woman of God. And what I'm saying is here, he is saying, he'll go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. In the spirit and in the power of Elijah. What did Elijah do? Well, he stopped the rain for 3 years. What else did he do? He started the rain for 3 years. What else did he do? Well, he just killed a few prophets. How many? Well, 450. You mean that's the spirit of Elijah and the power of Elijah? Yeah, but what else about this kid? And he's in my womb, says Elizabeth. And he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. About time. We live in a country of abdicated fathers. That's why we've got what we've got down the streets. Abdicated fathers. They've run away. And then he says, this kid will not only do all of that, he'll bring, what? The disobedient to the wisdom of the just. They look at the church and they say, what have these guys got? They're a bunch of old fuddy-duddies. What do they know? I mean, you go there, it's not very much excitement. There's not much expectancy. There's not much stuff going on in the place, you know. But there's coming a time, and now is. We're going to look at the church and say, my God, they've got something. They've got a voice. They've got people in there that are stateswomen, statesmen. There are prophetic people in there that can speak directly into my life. There are miracles, signs and wonders, and all sorts of things happening in that church. I tell you, I've seen hundreds and hundreds of blind eyes open. I know what it can do. I know what it does. The first thing Jesus did when he walked out of the wilderness, he went home and his mother said, darling, haven't had a shower for 40 days, 40 nights. Clean up, we're going to a wedding. Now he's at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, and his mother comes to him, probably, I don't know, in the first 5 minutes, son, they run out of wine. And he said immediately, woman, what's that got to do with me? My hour has not yet come. She turned to the disciples and said, his hour's come. He's the same boy that went into the wilderness, not the same boy that came out. Totally different boy. I can see it. His hour is right now. And if his hour is right now, because I know who he is. If his hour is now, wine's no problem. And she said to the disciples, that's the servants, you servants, you disciples, you do what he says. I speak at Catholic charismatic conferences, and I love it. Why? Because I speak the word. I declare the word. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, the word, the opposite of living is dying, and every increment to it. So you want to live? Speak the word. I prayed in one conference, in this Catholic Charismatic Conference, for a lady who had a broken ankle. God healed her instantly. She was running in the meeting. From that moment on, they call me Father. Call me Father today. See, he'll go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And then it said something devastating, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You go into a army barracks as a young man, they're making you ready. They're making you ready, prepared for something. You come into a church, they say, sit down, relax, take it easy. Rest. Take it easy. Now, just, you can grow at your own pace. Jesus never did that with anybody. He looked at Peter and he said, I know who you are. He looked at Saul of Tarsus and said, I know who you are. I thank God he looked at me and said, I know who you are. He looks at you today and says, I know who you are. And I know this church. I am the author and the perfecter of this church. I'm the Lord of this church. And I know what I'm going to do. You may not know, you may have an inkling of it, but I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do with you. I said, God, do it. God, do it. And then he went on to say, I want to be, well, prepared for the Lord. He's going to make a people ready, prepared for the Lord. He's going to make them ready. When you're ready, oh, I love this. When you're ready, this is what happens, if I can ever find it, ready to receive. You know, people come in altar calls, and you come in an altar call today, and I want to impart something to you, and you babble off in tongues, and I can't stop you. I'm not going to pray for you. You know why? You don't know how to receive. We are great at giving, but we're lousy givers. We're lousy receivers. Now you go to India, I'll take you out to the back blocks of Orissa or Visakhapatnam, and watch how they receive. Quick. You believe Jesus can open your eyes, honey? Oh, yes. Can we have a cup of tea later? Oh, yes. With buffalo milk? Yes. And puri bhajis? Yeah, yes. Okay, pray. Bang, opens. Wow, that was quick. That's how it happens. It can happen this morning. Yeah. Well, he goes on to say, and Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? So I don't know. I'm an old man, and my wife's an old lady. And the angel said, don't you know who I am? I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and you're arguing with me. From this moment on, 9 months, bang, you're not going to speak. And he must have got, ah. Well, I went home and said, ah, Zach, would you like a cup of tea, dear? Like some muffins? What's wrong with your mouth? What's wrong with you? I can't speak. I better take you to the doctor. I've already been. Dr. Jesus, shut me up. You don't think that can happen? 3 days before the Brownsville revival happened in the United States of America, where hundreds of thousands of people went and many thousand got saved, the pastor's wife was in the washroom, and she was powdering her nose with a couple of ladies, and all of a sudden, oh, she said, oh, Jesus is here. And she was frozen for about 6 hours. I tell you, we do not know what tomorrow brings. We don't even know what today brings. Get out of yesterday. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. If they're passed away, they're dead. Behold, all things are new. I want to live there. And I'll go on living there. I've been going to Afghanistan for years. I was there last November. I was supposed to go there again this year. But now it's too dangerous. But I'll go next year. They said, Russell, you shouldn't go. I said, if God tells me to go, I'll go. None of your business. See, don't you know, I'm Gabriel. Now you're arguing with me. Behold, you shall be dumb, not able to speak all these days until these things are performed. And you didn't believe my words, which were fulfilled in this season. See, don't be a person caught out of season. Be a person in season. And then went on to go on to say, and the people waited for Zach. And the people tarried long, and when he came out, they were marveled. They knew something had happened because he couldn't speak. See, your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. Right in the beginning, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. It was tohu, bohu. It was black. It was demonic. And the earth was covered with water. The Spirit of God hovered above the water. Why? Because he was hovering and protecting what the raw material underneath the water was that created a man. called Adam. What he was hovering over was instilling and imparting his destiny, his purpose, his desire, his heart for this earth. It's still here. Why? What did he say to Josh? Every bit of soil that the sole of your foot touches, I've given it to you. See, here is an old priest, and he's burning incense. Prayer. Your prayer will touch heaven in a nanosecond. 1/1 billionth of a second. Your prayer is the greatest thing on this earth. It moves mountains, obstacles, disease, resistance, difficulties. It changes nations. It changes peoples. It's the lifeblood of the church. And they were praying, multitude were praying. Here comes Gabriel and gives him this word. Your prayer is heard. What prayer? Oh, God, give me rest. A lovely house. And give me a holiday cruise on a ship in Europe. No, he was praying the impossible. He was praying the unexpected. He was praying impotency. Finished. No, nothing's finished. Nothing's over until he says it's over. What'd they say? It's not over until the fat lady sings. And no, nothing bad to anybody that you put on any weight. I've put on a bit of weight in the last few years too. But can God fill this place? Yeah. Can he bring a whole slew of the miraculous? Yep. Can he change this place? Yep. What did Jesus say? Greater works will you do. Okay, where are they? As we traveled in different parts of the world. Oh, by the way, Pastor, what time do I got to finish? Keep going. My wife says, Russell, no long-winded preaching. I say, okay, dear. So, I'm saying, God, I will keep going. I remember being in a place called Deggendorf in Germany a number of years ago. I'd done 6 weeks in Europe. I was by myself. Ellie wasn't with me. And I was tired on the last day. The last day, little church, a couple of hundred people. It was on a Sunday night. I was going home on the Monday. I could hardly wait to get home, get on that plane and go home. I want to get on that plane, relax, and watch an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Yeah, sanctified, of course. And so I'm preaching away there, and they bring a blind lady and put her right in the front row. And I went, I'm going to preach 20 minutes, no more. Like I said to myself, self, preach 20 minutes here and stop boring. And I thought to myself, I said to myself, self, give her a quick prayer and go on. You can be home in half an hour in your hotel, relaxing, because the next day you're going home. So here's this blind lady sitting right there. So I made an altar call. People got saved. So I go, you want healing? You'd like to be healed? Stand up. And I thought a few people, a whole bunch stood up. So I gave the first six You know, blah, 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 you're finished, you're finished, you're finished. And then I went to this lady. And I did it, I think, just quick, I'll move on. So I put my hand on her face. In Jesus' name, I command these eyes to open. And as I took a step out, she screamed, "Ah, I can see." And I went, "Of course I know that." As you do. I knew that happened. You did not. See how you can nearly miss it? Yeah. Drew and myself and Ellie were in London. I was speaking at Kensington Temple, where the Jeffrey brothers started. And we were in Kensington Park on a beautiful summer day, 35 degrees, and we had a shorts on. Well, Ellie was in the park looking, and Drew and myself were sitting on a park bench, and there was a kind of a bit of a roadway through the park. And we were having a chat, and about from here to the doorway, I looked and I said, "Oh, Drew, look who's coming." And he said, "Dad, it's not really." I said, "It sure is. It's Princess Diana." And as she came a little forward, the Lord said, "Russell, tell her I love her." She got a little closer. "Russell, tell her I love her." She got almost up to, "Russell, tell her I love her." I was so taken back with Princess Diana. She's gorgeous. She was. And a minder was standing next to her with a jacket on, and I'm sure he had something underneath. Don't worry, I've seen many of those in Afghanistan. She walked right up to us, looked, smiled. We smiled. "Russell, tell her I love her." And she went by, "Russell, tell her I love her." I missed it. And then from to the window, she kind of veered off into a doorway in a brick wall. But as she looked around again, smiled and walked in. And I thought, "Oh God, I missed it. Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. I missed." It's easy to do. Because you're frightened of your own voice. God wants to give us a voice. This man was dumb for 9 months. Many shall rejoice at his birth. Why? An unusual birth, unusual life, unusual word, unusual death. He'll drink no strong drink. He'll be filled in the womb. What did he do on the day of Pentecost? He filled them. Didn't half fill them. He absolutely filled them. In 1 Kings 8, 10 to 11, it said, "The glory of God fill the house." In Numbers 14, 21, he said, truly as I live, all the earth shall be," well, how much? "All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." God doesn't do things by half measures. And he'll go before in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He'll shut up the heavens with a word, and he'll open up the heavens with a word. What else? Oh, Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist, this voice. See, this is all about a voice. This is all about the prophetic. Why? Because it's the forerunner of Christ. All about a word. All about a voice. And what does it say in John 3:11? John said, "I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance, but there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire." When I was a Baptist, when I got baptized in water, somebody gave me a book. "Dear Russell, on the occasion of your water baptism in the Baptist church, now for the fire." I went looking for the fire. And I found it in Tom Weaver's church. I told you, Pastor Fred. And I'm sitting in the third row, right on the aisle seat. We'd raised our hands. Now we're Baptists. God bless the Baptist. I was so touched, so elated, so I kept thinking, something's going to happen. something's here, something. I've never felt like this before. We don't walk by feelings, we walk by faith. But faith has got feelings. And as 10 minutes came, I don't know why, I looked down at the aisle, and from here down, I saw Jesus walk by me. 10 seconds. I didn't know what it meant. I think I asked Pastor Fred. I saw the sandals. I saw the robe. I saw the ties. I saw the belt. And I shook and wept. But my Baptist friends told me to shut up. Why? They didn't believe. See, there's the difference. I remember going to pray in Fremantle Hospital. A man was dying of cancer, and cancer right behind one eye, and it pushed one eye, made it blind, and now was pushing the other eye out. And I went in there, three of us, we prayed up a storm, and a few days later, I was on my way to Asia for a couple of weeks. When I got back, I said, what happened to that lad, that guy? Oh, Russell, go and see. He's in hospital. Both eyes have come back. He can see now. The cancer's gone. But now he's in hospital because they're doing more tests of some other areas. I went in there to pray. Now the guy's in a coma. I said, what happened? Well, such and such. There's a lady sitting there. And I said, honey, you and I are going to pray and believe God for a miracle. She got up and she said, I don't believe in miracles. Goodbye. The guy died the next day. I prayed up a storm. See, it'll come in the spirit and the power of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Bless God for it. Get ready for the unexpected. Joseph, God was with him all the way to Egypt. God was with him in a jail. God was with him in Potiphar's house. From rags to riches. From pit to palace. And then he stood there. And he looked at all his brothers. One word could have annihilated the whole lot. But he'd already forgiven. God had prepared him. He was getting ready. I know one day I'll see my family and my father again. I know it. I'm expecting. And when his brother stood there, he said, I'm Joseph. Let me tell you, boys. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Because all things work together for good. To them who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. All things. Well, you may be sick here today. Well, God's got something for you. He fed 20,000 people on a hill suddenly. Water and quails came suddenly. Can you imagine? 1 million people eating and drinking water out of a rock. I want to pray with you. Can the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir come back? Okay, you're wonderful. Now this is a call. This whole message is being about the prophetic. Why? It's the forerunner. It's the forerunner message. He's coming. And he's making ready a church for something unexpected. This whole essence of the prophetic. I remember I was in Bandung in Indonesia. The young man was interpreting me, young pastor. I had about 100 Indonesian pastors. And the guy stopped me. God stopped me in the afternoon session. This young man was interpreting. And the Lord said, tell him, I'm going to release gifting into him right now, as you lay hands on him, he's going to walk in the miraculous and heal the sick. As I said it, I watched God. He just flung him against the wall, and he slid down the wall for about half an hour. We all had a cup of tea because nobody else could interpret. That night, he had to run down to Jakarta, some 3 or 4 hours. I said, come back the next day. He came back the next morning, shouting as he got out of the car, Russell, Russell, Russell. I said, what happened? He said, 2 totally deaf people, were ears were opened instantly. He went on from that day on. Now, I've seen that happen. And it's the same with the prophetic. It's an impartation. Because I've seen it. And those of you who have maybe a gift, maybe a sense of the gift, maybe a hunger for, and I'm not just saying to stand there and say, thus saith the Lord. You see, the prophetic's like a swimming pool. There's a shallow end. A lot of people can dabble in the shallow end, but then it gets deeper. But those who are ready to venture out into that area, the next step is into the deep where you can't put your feet. And God is looking for that in people's lives and hearts. And I don't care. See, God's no respecter of persons, and he's certainly no respecter of age. He said, Russell, I don't see anything to do with your age. I said, good. I don't see anybody's age. I just see their motivation of heart. I live expecting every day. Do I get down days? I'm not going to confess that to anyone. Russell, you haven't done what I told you. Okay, Ollie. Are you ready? If you're ready, put your hand up. Slip out the car, come out the front. Because we're going to pray for the sick too. We got time, Pastor? You sure? Okay, you put your hand up, come. Okay.